Everybody, welcome to the Gootscast. After 20 long years, it finally feels like WWE has competition. Tonight, CM Punk returned. Probably the greatest segment, I'm going to say, since Goldberg beat Raven for the title in WCW. The greatest non-WWE segment, I think, in almost 23 years. Now, I'm not the greatest wrestling segment if you count WWE in 10 years. The last one being the fucking pipe bomb. I thought that this was finally AEW felt like a real company. Finally, it felt like Major League. It finally felt like the fact that they had Sting in the middle, they had Sting who represented the two guys that represent the alternative were in this angle. It just felt good. It felt right. And then the rest of the show happened. But that's for later. There's a lot. I do think AEW has to make some hard decisions. I don't think everyone should be along for the ride. But with CM Punk back and that promo and everything, that was probably one of the greatest thing I've seen since the 90s.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, they got a lot of growing to do, but they're growing in the right direction. So
this was Hogan in 94. This was maybe even better than Hogan in 94. Because, you know, when I was that age, I was out of wrestling in 94. I didn't like it when Yokozuna beat Hogan. I didn't think of Hogan's. But and I remember trying to get excited for him back in WCW, and I remember that match being like a shadow of, like, the classic Hogan shit. This almost like it transcended. If you were a CM Punk fan, this felt like it transcended the shit he did 10 years ago. You know what I mean? It built upon it. Whereas the Hogan stuff felt like, but it was important for the Hogan shit because it took 2 years for Hogan to, like, evolve and transcend what he did. This, I felt like CM Punk just did right off the bat.
Yeah. So let's get right into this, guys. We're going to do Rampage first,
then SmackDown.
Rampage coming to us live from Chicago. Excalibur informs us that there are 15,316 people at the arena, and they are right off the bat CM Punk chants. JR has joined commentary, so Chris Jericho is out. They explain his absence, that he's recovering from his loss on Dynamite a couple of days ago. So it's Mark Henry, JR, Excalibur, Taz.
Thank God they had Jim Ross on this.
Yeah, and
I feel like Jericho would have ruined it.
Yeah, no, and I think doing that thing where, oh, because he lost, explaining why he's off was good too. As soon as these commentators introduce themselves, they just go silent. The crowd's constantly chanting CM Punk. The music changes. It is a cult of personality. The crowd pops. CM Punk comes out. He fucking kneels at the entrance for a very long time. People are he's just soaking it in. It is electric.
Electric. It was such a fucking moment. It was like
Okay, everybody knew he was coming out, right? Like, we all knew he's coming out. But when that music hit, did you still get surprised? Because I did.
I don't know. I kind of thought like they were going to do something cute. You know what? I'm so conditioned to, like, dude, if let's say Vince and CM Punk came to agreement, right? And he was going to come out on SmackDown. They would have had the music and had fucking Roman Reigns walk out with Paul Heyman. And then they would have called the crowd idiots. And then CM Punk would have came out. I'm just so used to, like, people, like, being like, I'm so used to, like.
We're so used to WWE wrestling shows, right?
Yeah.
Because we've been watching it for almost, like 40 years or more, right?
Yeah.
So you're so used to that type of storytelling that it's sometimes hard to accept a different type of storytelling.
Well, it's hard to accept, like, we're just going to do what we said we're going to do. We're not going to fuck with you.
Yeah.
But he did the right thing. But also, like, I fucking hated that UFC shit. I thought that was fucking pathetic and a midlife crisis thing. And
absolutely. I don't think anybody.
And to me, you know what that was like? It was like if Bill Burr gave up stand-up fucking, you know, pick up sewing. Like, I'm gonna full-time.
It's like when Michael Jordan started playing baseball.
Or like if Paul McCartney, like, quit the Beatles to, like, do, like, pit fighting. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the thing you're good at. Dude, His movie, dude, I think it's on Amazon now, Girl on the Third Floor. He made a horror movie with this guy.
Yeah.
He's might be the worst actor I've seen a comic book I've ever fucking seen. This guy is not good at anything but wrestling.
I would have, you know, I was going to say, I think CM Punk's face also hated when he did MMA.
Yeah. Dude, and it was like so good to finally see this guy where he belongs, you know?
Yeah. So he's walking down the ramp and he's hugging people. He jumps into the crowd at one point. People are going ballistic. There are people crying. They show a grown man crying. And here's the thing. Nobody was judging him. I wasn't judging him. I was like, I get it. I get it. You know, it's been a rough 2 years. This is a great moment that people have been waiting for 7 years. He gets in the ring and he goes, oh, you guys make me feel like Britt Baker in Pittsburgh, which I thought was kind of cute.
Who do you think CM Punk's going to cheat on AJ Lee with? I think it's going to be Britt Baker.
Possible. Possible.
I'm here to cheat on my wife.
He shits on WWE without mentioning WWE. And I'm telling you, this crowd is popping for everything he's doing. He takes off his hoodie. Character crowd goes crazy. He sits down in the ring. Crowd goes insane. Like every single
when
thing
he goes, when doing, he said, let me tell you a story, I thought he was going to pick up where he left off and be like, those anti-bullying campaigns. And I thought, remember, like he got cut off?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go into that story, which would have been fucking hilarious.
When he said that, let me tell you a story, people pop for that. Mm-hmm. And he mentions Ring of Honor. He goes, the last time I felt like this or something was when I was my final match at Ring of Honor in August 15 of 2005. That was the last time I became, that was when I left.
That was when I left pro wrestling.
Yeah. And he goes, August 20th, 2021, I am back in professional wrestling. People are going crazy. And he goes, there's a reason why I'm back. There's young guys I want to fight. And then there's also scores I got to settle. And then he looks up and he sees Darby Allin and Sting up in the rafters. Darby's paint job looking extra nice tonight. Mm-hmm. It is the white with like the fucking winter, you know, like fucking dormant trees, like on his face, which I thought was very, very done well. And he says, Darby Allin, I want you at All Out. So that match is set. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Look at that COVID coughs. Look at that. Or sneezes. I don't know. So CM Punk versus Darby Allin and All Out. And then he goes, oh, and one of the things he did say, I went over this. He goes, anybody who was affected negatively or was.
I thought I was an idiot.
That upset about any decisions I made from back then. He goes, I want you to understand. Like, I want you to know that I understand. But in order to heal mentally and physically, I couldn't do it in the place that got me sick in the first place, which I thought was a very good line to say. Because he didn't need to address that. He pissed off a lot of fans. He did. When he left, he pissed off a lot of fans. And he wanted to acknowledge that and explain why he couldn't come back there.
Yeah. But I think when he left, he did not expect AEW. And I think even 2 years ago, he kind of thought this guy is a fucking idiot. And then he got the word that this guy is a really fucking idiot. And now he's back. You know, now he's like, all right. I think he watched the show for 2 years. He goes, I can make this show better. So I'm going to come aboard. So, dude, I loved him. He's such a good storyteller. Like, half of it's bullshit. Like, you know, he did contact WWE about coming back in 2018.
Of course,
But it's fine. This is a story. We don't have, actually, I did contact Vince. He was like, no, so I'm here. But it's such a good story. Like, I built Ring of Honor and then I left it. And it's almost like I was building AEW and then I abandoned it. And now I'm back. Like, and it's such, because Ring of Honor was, it was almost AEW before AEW. You know what I mean? Like, the fans,
yes.
People are not passionate about it. Like, dudes, people are so passionate about Ring of Honor.
Oh, I was. I was one of those people. I was going to all those shows.
I've seen like one match of Ring of Honor this entire time.
Oh, when I was going to Ring of Honor shows when CM Punk was leaving.
Yeah.
And when the news broke that he was signed, and everyone thought he was going to drop the title. He had a title match. He didn't. He didn't lose. And he did like a farewell tour or something where he spent like he spent a long amount of time just keep defending the championship belt, which was very weird because back then that didn't happen. Like if you were signed, the first thing they did was get rid of the fucking belt off of you, you know? Yeah. So I was there during that time. It was definitely a cult mentality. It's a lot of fun. It was punk rock, you know?
Yeah, but that was ECW as well. But yeah, it really did feel like
Ring of Honor. I picked right up. It was just
it was really like he weaved in like years of storytelling in this one promo. Dude, he is just so above and beyond everyone else in this company. He is just so polished. I got to give credit to the cameraman and the whoever was doing the Kevin Dunn job. I think it's Keith Mitchell. Dude, they were fucking nailing it. This was like peak WWE. It didn't feel like a goofy show. It felt like the best version of WWE. Like it was so fucking good. He was so fucking good. Sting was so fucking good. Darby Allin was fun.
Darby looked like a superstar, I thought.
Yeah, like when it was showed just him, so...
If this is your first time watching AEW, right? And you're just tuning in because of CM Punk. And you see CM Punk and you're going crazy. The crowd's going crazy. And he looks up and he acknowledges this guy's sitting up in the rafters. Like he's talking to them while they're up there. And you see him and he's this guy with Sting. He's standing next to Sting. Doesn't say a word. He's just looking coolly, calmly. And he's got this cool face paint. He looked like a superstar, bro.
Yeah.
He looked like a star.
It
looked good.
Sting played it off so fucking well. Again, mm-hmm. These are two guys that WWE missed the boat on, and they're fucking just delivering, Sting and CM Punk.
And here's the thing. Everybody basically did nothing, but that's the point. Sometimes you don't do anything. The commentators didn't say shit, which was perfect. Mm-hmm. Sting and Darby Allin didn't make any crazy faces or gestures. They just stood there, and they just watched them. Yeah. And doing all that where you're just doing nothing sometimes is doing more. And CM Punk ends the segment with saying, for you guys wait for 7 years, on your way out, grab an ice cream on me. The commentators then now come out and they show you the ice cream bar. It's not, obviously it can't be the
No, but bar. I just, dude, it was he's such a good storyteller. He's such a good fucking storyteller. The whole thing was fucking great. It was great.
Everything was good. Yeah.
It was amazing.
This was 20 minutes, guys. It was the first 20 minutes of the show.
And then the Young Bucks walk out.
No. So we had a debate about this, and I was saying, you got to put CM Punk last. Because if you do the rest of the show, everything's going to fall flat based on it. If CM Punk comes out first, everything's going to fall flat because... it's like in comedy. You know how they say, not comedy. It's, magic, they say like, you don't fucking disappear. You don't do the disappearing elephant trick first. You do it last. You build up to it. And they decided to do it first. And I think even though it was a great moment, this shit was a mistake because the rest of the show is so goddamn boring.
Well, no, because I don't think it was a mistake because I don't think they could go past 10. I think TNT like doesn't give a fuck who. So I think they wanted to, in case CM Punk decided I'm not leaving the ring, I'm going to keep cutting a promo. I think they should have cut some of the match at times. I think it was good to start it off. So if he went the whole hour, which I would let him go the whole fucking hour, not any matches, they didn't cut enough time out of the other shit. That was the problem.
No, I just think doing CM Punk first, everything else doesn't compare.
Here's the thing. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. It showed that a lot of these guys, not a lot of these guys, but some of these guys just don't fit. And a head and shoulders above everyone, as someone who looked like an indie fucking goofball, this is a low rate, are the Young Bucks. This company has outgrown the Young Bucks.
They I don't think so. They were just sitting there. They didn't look
walking. No, I had a friend over, and my friend Alex, and like he's like these guys suck. These guys, and on Twitter, people are like, once you see the Young Bucks, it's like it takes you out of like, oh my god, there's real competition. They're just so fucking goofy.
Dude. Well, let's go in order so that people can see what we're talking about. Well, wait. So because I'm saying I think the rest of the show fell flat after this. They go to the back.
Certain things,
but well, most of it for me at least.
Okay.
Christian is in the back with Jurassic Express.
And this was a good promo.
He's cutting a promo and he calls out the Kenny Omega and he goes, "All right, Jurassic Express, go out there, start winning the tag team, tournament, whatever. All right, this is fine. Yeah, it was fine. Good, you know." This is right after the Chris CM Punk thing, so the energy is still there. It's just but then
Private Party Matt Hardy got zero pop.
There's a lot of people who got zero.
I know.
So Private Party comes out and it's versus Jurassic Express. Winner advances in the tournament. This is the first match. The Bucks come out and they sit on the entrance way to watch. That's all they do. There's this amazing moment in this match where. Jungle Boy is sitting on top of Luchasaurus' shoulders, mm-hmm. and they hit a fucking Isaiah Cassidy hits a Canadian destroyer like from there, from the top. It looked devastating. That was a pretty cool moment. Mark Quinn tries to hit a shooting star press on the outside. He misses Luchasaurus, but I watched it again. The argument could be made that Luchasaurus sees this guy jumping at him, so he fucking moves out of the way because he actually moved out of the way. He purposely moved out of the way. So you could say like, okay. Well, I guess technically he's
moving out. I gotta say something else too. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus is fucking horrible. He's not good at all.
I don't think he's bad.
I think he's really bad. I think he's another guy who got exposed. Private Party and Jungle Boy were really good, mm-hmm. but Luchasaurus, I think, is not he cannot keep up with the other these people when it's high pace like this.
Well, when it's a pace like this,
really bad.
Yeah.
What?
When these guys are fast, Jungle Boy is not mm-hmm. popular because of who his dad is. He's popular because he's good and he's really, really fast. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. really fast. Private Party is really fast, so I can understand if Luchasaurus can't keep up with these guys. Marco Stunt and Matt Hardy kind of get into it a little bit. They go out. They show you a little bit of a Jungle Boy's ass crack, which Taz makes a joke out of it, which was really funny. I thought, did you hear Taz's joke?
Saw crack.
He goes, we saw crack too. Anyway, whatever. Taz makes a little Taz joke because of the butt crack. Ultimately, the Jungle Jurassic Express is there, flip over a powerbomb on Mark Quinn for the win, and they'll be advancing. They're going to face the winners of the other match on next week on Rampage. Fun match. I thought it was a fun match. Good first match. What did you think?
I thought it went a little bit too long. I would have had it gone shorter. I think people were losing interest because it went so long. You know,
they could have cut like a minute or two out. Yes,
yeah, you know, they do too many like hot tags and then the heels get a bit. They don't know. They don't know how to formulate. They still know how to like time out like a show. And I thought this match went a little bit too long. I think they should have cut some time, or I went a little bit too long.
I think this just should have started the show.
Private? No, because they would have been screaming CM Punk over these guys the whole time.
I guess you're right. That's.
I still think it was the right thing to have CM Punk start the show. I think Luchasaurus. This is the thing that mm-hmm. the level was raised so much that you can see who doesn't belong anymore, and that's what I'm saying. Tony kind of said. He can't keep everybody anymore. He just can't. No. Not everybody that's there can stay there. And I know, like, you got to get rid of some people. And I think Marco Stunt, Luchasaurus, the Young Bucks should all just get the fuck out of here. Go fuck off to Impact Wrestling. I think that none of them look like stars. The Young Bucks are never – I don't give a fuck how much people like the Young Bucks. They always are going to be indie fucking losers. I think they look like they – I was like, so, dude, you know me with AEW. I fucking can't stand it half the time. I was so into this show, and then they come strutting out, and it's like, you guys are not good, and you're never gonna get better because you think you're the fucking best. You guys are fucking trash. And I just didn't.
Well, I disagree with all this, obviously.
What, you like Luchasaurus? You think you should
start? I like Luchasaurus. I like the Young Bucks, yeah. And I don't think the Young Bucks, Young Bucks are part of, remember, WWE wanted these guys too. And these guys have a best-selling book.
I don't care. WWE was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what
also makes the Young Bucks garbage? You know who's the better version of the Young Bucks think they are? Is 2.0. 2.0 is what the Young Bucks think they are. They are entertaining. They are fucking great wrestlers. They are smarmy in a fucking fun way. Everything the Young Bucks do, 2.0 does better.
I will say, you're not the only person I know who really fucking hates the Young Bucks. There's like
everything the Young Bucks think they are is 2.0.
The Young Bucks, they're, I don't know what it is about them. They're super like, you either really fucking like them or you.
They
really
are the most unlikable. It's not even heel heat. It's just you should not be on TV. You are just.
I don't see that.
Everything I hate about wrestling outside of WWE is represented in the Young Bucks. Everything good about outside wrestling WWE is Sting and CM Punk. Everything that's fucking trash are these two fucking retards. I fucking hate them. And
okay, to be fair, you had a problem with them before all this.
It doesn't matter. They're just not good. They're not good. Every time that the elite.
No, you got into them. You got into them with Twitter. You got into them on Twitter.
Does it? I didn't like them even before that, dude. Me and my friend went to see a match. There's the Elks Lodge. We fucking hate it.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. You hate them.
I was going to say 2.0. Are what the Young Bucks think they are. The 2.0 is amazing. They have stepped up. 2.0
pretty good. Yeah, 2.0.
They're fucking way better than the Young Bucks. You don't need the Young Bucks when you have 2.0. That's it. 2.0 is the Young Bucks done the right way.
All right, so then we get, right after this match, we got Kenny Omega and Don Callis cutting a promo. They're mad about what just happened. Don Callis is looking at the wrong fucking camera. And Kenny Omega... Did you see that? He was looking at the wrong direction.
I thought that was on purpose.
Maybe it is. Is Don Cass been doing this thing lately?
Yeah, he's not that dumb. Kenny Omega's making dumb mistakes,
like counting wrong.
Can I tell you, Kenny Omega looked like a deer in the headlights. He looked like so, like, not himself.
Yeah, he cut us a promo on Christian Cage. Okay, whatever. That's that. Mm-hmm. Then... we're going to go to match number two, Jade Cargo versus Kiera Hogan. Jade comes out with absolutely no reaction at
all.
We're talking not even boos. Mm-hmm. No boos, no cheers, nothing, just nothing. She hits Jaded, her fucking version of the Glamazon Slam. What was best?
I don't know. I hated this. This was
the Glam Slam. Yeah, for the win.
This was the worst.
This match should not have been on the show tonight. I think the only reason why it was on the show was because they were like, a lot of new people are going to watch the show. We want to show them the most dominant looking woman we have, probably. Right?
I guess someone in the upper levels of this company loves this woman.
Yeah, because you know what I think they were thinking is this: we don't have a lot of time to feature a women's match. Like we don't. We're not. We're this has to be a squash match. We don't have a lot of time. So if we're gonna feature a woman, we gotta show a woman that at least just looks like a fucking superstar.
I hated this match with a passion. First of all, Kiera Hogan has such more star presence than this jerk off. I think Jade is, she's another one's got to go. Just go, get out. Don't come back. Get out. You're not whatever they think she's going to be or is, she's not. Kiera Hogan, I just got so annoyed that Kiera Hogan had to lose like this, look this stupid. And of course they had to put that she was an Impact because they got to stick at the fucking Impact. I hated that Kiera Hogan treated like this. This bitch has to go. She's fucking, no one cares about her. No one's ever going to care about her. She's another one of Young Bucks where it's not like heel heat. It's get off my television. Like, and I think Kiera Hogan, I think she should be signed and she should be given like a chance to be a player.
Kiera Hogan is worth them taking a chance on. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I also understand why Jade was on the show. I was like, yeah, she's
someone's in love with her.
Yeah, all the women that they fucking have, she's the one who looks the most like a fucking, like a oh my God, like you can't, like you have to see this specimen.
But it's, there's just something about her that's just not likable. It's just not.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, there's just nothing there. I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's because she's a phony.
Yeah. There's just nothing there. It's just.
She's a phony in many aspects, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. This is why people don't like her. She's a phony. She's a phony in the sense, the main reason why we, like you and me, I'm not a biggest fan of her either. The main reason why you and I don't like her is because she's a phony professional wrestler. That's the first thing. She's not a real professional wrestler.
She's getting a push that she doesn't deserve.
Exactly. She's a phony. Mm-hmm. When you're a comedian, and we're both comedians, whenever we see someone who's not a real comedian getting that push, the part of us resents that, right? And this is the same situation. She's a phony professional wrestler. Not only that, she's a phony at a lot of other things. Like, that ain't her fucking real hair color, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about her body, you know, is probably chemically or some kind of enhanced. Everything about her is phony. She comes off phony, and that's why you don't.
She's phony con.
Yeah, yeah. I think the best way to get her like really good heel heat is for her to really play up the fact that she's like all natural. And she's
no, I think the best way to get heel heat is to give her a sidekick that people actually like and she treats like shit. Not Mark Sterling. I also think it's stupid that Mark Sterling's with her.
We got thunder tornado warning.
Yeah. Imagine there was the warning, but it was like CM Punk's back.
Yeah, yeah. You get your fucking late phone. Yeah.
Yeah. I would not have had this. I would not have had this segment. I would have gave more time to Moxley. I don't think you need. I think this was the wrong woman to feature. I think every other woman that they have signed would have been better to have been featured than her. Every woman.
What if the situation was like we only have like 3 minutes for a women's segment?
Anyone else? Julia Hart and fucking, I don't know, Abaddon. Is Abaddon even healthy? I don't even know.
Abaddon, anyone else? You know what it is? I think they realize Abaddon's not that good. So you know what they do? Not that good.
Neither is this woman.
They keep her on dark. They keep her on dark.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Anyone else they have signed to a contract would have been a better use of their time. Britt Baker came out and just passed win. That would have been a better use.
Should have just came out to like, Britt.
Yeah, and then just left. Like she everyone in that arena. I feel like everyone knows that she's just gonna get bored one day and go off and do something else.
Yeah, yeah, dude, she's the phony.
Everyone also knows someone in that office, like either fucking her or is incredibly in love with her, which is why we have to endure her.
Yeah,
but she was not the person.
Yeah, I think somebody really, really wants to fuck her 100%.
Yeah, not me.
But whatever, it is what it is. Nobody likes her. This was a waste. Then we get Mark Henry. He does a split screen interview with Daniel Garcia and John Moxley. Then we're going to go straight to our third match. Moxley versus Garcia. Moxley puts him in the bulldog choke for Garcia to tap out. After he taps out, 2.0 gets in the ring. Eddie Kingston gets in the ring. It's 3-2. Heels are winning. Darby Allin and Sting come out. All four faces beat the shit out of 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, and including Sting, who hits a couple of Scorpion Death Drops, Coffin Drop, and then the good guys stand there tall, and then that's how the show ends. Flat ending. This was so fucking flat. I was like, this is how they're fucking ending the show. I was like, God damn, it's so boring.
I thought the match was kind of – the match was rushed. I don't think you should have gave – match was too short and too rushed to give Danny Garcia that much offense and made Moxie look weak. And even the finish was like almost, you could tell like they were rushing, like, shit, let's just get to the fucking finish, right?
Also, it's like Daniel Garcia, he just got here. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about him being in the main event. Like, I don't like, I'm like, oh, fuck, Moxie's fighting this guy. I'm not amped to see this match at all, especially when
if you were going to give him that much offense, right, you should have cut out the Jade match and made this longer.
Even if you gave him a lot of offense, I don't fucking buy it.
Like, I don't buy it either.
Daniel Garcia has, I don't know anything about it, besides that he broke his legs in 2019 and he just started coming on the scene like a couple of weeks ago. I have no connection to him. I have no connection to him at all, right? I'm sure a lot of people have no connection to him. Not only that, he is tiny compared to Jon Moxley. So when I see this matchup, I'm like, I don't give a shit about this match. I don't care how much offense you give. I'm actually more happy that it was short because I don't care about this match. I don't want to fucking waste more time watching this match that I don't give a shit about, you know? So
yeah, I think
this is your main event, dude. It's fucking
stupid. I know. I think they need to cut some people, dude. I think they need to trim the fat. Now you have Punk, you know, you can't have so many indie-rific guys on that show. They gotta be polished. CM Punk has brought their level up and they've got to level up with him.
I think
it's time to trim the fat. It really is. They haven't fired anybody yet. And that's not sustainable. What are you gonna have everyone working for you? Yeah. On the planet,
they actually got rid of two people, Jimmy Havoc, and that French girl who hates Muslims.
Okay, but what if that woman that Jimmy Havoc assaulted? What if she just was like, "I'm not gonna say anything." He'd still be there.
Oh, of course he'll still be there. And yeah. if that French girl who never tweeted about Muslims, she'd still be there too.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, so what? You got to murder some people just shouldn't be there anymore. And I think Marco Stunt is one of them. And
Marco Stunt, I don't think he needs to be there anymore.
No.
Luther needs to go. I mean, I would cut
25 people. I would cut.
That's at least 10 people for sure that needs to get cut.
Yeah, you know? It's time. And because you can't have CM Punk come out and just make the show look that good. And then you have like that Jade woman it's like, oh my God, AEW is the best. And then like everyone is so hot and so ready. And then the rest of the show, they're just like, yeah, whatever. Cause like a lot of these guys aren't over.
Yeah. I lost interest in the show starting from the Omega Don Gallows promo.
And Omega.
That's like half the show, dude.
Dude, this show exposed a lot of these people. Like they're not as good as him. That's the thing about bringing somebody like this that's this good. You've got to level up. Everyone. This is a speech if I was going to kind of give everybody. Listen, yes, CM Punk's here. You've all got to come to his level. He's not going to come to yours because that's going to mean that we're going to lose to Vince. You got to come to his level. And if you're not coming to this level, you can't play here anymore. Like. We now are competition. We're not like, oh, no. You have the fucking, the guy. And he is the guy. There's nobody else that could have shown up that would have came close to the reaction he got. I don't care if The Undertaker showed up over there. I don't fucking care if Cena or Becky Lynch ran over there. Nobody's getting a reaction like he got tonight. So everyone's got to level up. And if you can't level up, get the fuck out of this company. That's just the way it should be. Sorry, you can't. Not everybody can work for them.
All right.
But having said all that, I do think this show was a home run.
I don't.
Really?
This show was not a home run.
I think that segment was all you needed. The other stuff was like.
Was it a good show? Yeah, absolutely was a good show. Is it going to be one of those shows that they're going to talk about in history? Yeah, of wrestling. And it could be the pivotal point in how ratings go and where competition goes. Absolutely. Did I have fun watching the show? Yes. But would I say it's a home run show? Absolutely not. It was not. I mean, we're talking like fucking, if you're talking like perfect, no, it's absolutely wasn't.
That's why you got to get rid of the inbox anyway.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like we just talked about. There's like a lot of things.
They guess they got work to do, but they got a really good fucking MVP.
There was two wrestling shows tonight. This one was the better one. this Rampage was the better one.
Well, we didn't see Elevation or 205 Live. They could have blown both shows.
Up. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Compared to SmackDown, this was the better show because.
Let's get into SmackDown. So I was talking to my friend here. And he had mentioned, remember when TNA had that show and they brought
your back... Your friend's Brown? Still there?
No, he was sitting over there.
Oh, okay. If he's still there,
dude, fucking... So remember when TNA, like, we got Hogan and we're going to have a Monday show? And then after like 13 years, they made up with Bret Hart, had him come out and hug Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And like, you know why? Because even back then, Vince, like, you're not competition, but I'm not going to give you the fucking opportunity to ever become competition. And that segment with Brett and Shawn Michaels, I still have it in my head. That was a great fucking segment.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I don't, and that TNA show, who even fuck remembers that? But the point is that, like, if they, for years, if they got a whiff of someone fucking with them, they went and fucked back harder. They went and like, oh, okay, TNA has this. All right, guess what? We're making up with Ultimate Warrior. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they would do whatever it takes to be like, you're not even going to come close to us. And tonight was a night they should have done that, been like, drop the surprise or drop something major just to be like, I don't give a fuck you have CM Punk. Look at us. We can fucking change the game. Like, and they didn't do anything. And I think that was a major
WWE today on SmackDown. They did absolutely nothing to counter or acknowledge what was happening on AEW.
I mean, you have to acknowledge it, but just counter it. Like, give me a fucking holy shit surprise to be like, you guys think like that's gonna be big? Look what the fuck we can do.
I think that was a big story that they didn't. There was no acknowledgement on SmackDown tonight at all. That's a big thing, and I wonder why that is. Do you think they're just trying to play this power move of like, if we don't acknowledge it and I don't act like it's a big deal, then maybe everyone else won't? Or do you think they legit just don't think AEW is anything?
I think that they feel if they acknowledge AEW as being something, it's going to become something. I also think they have whatever surprise they're going to have over the next few days, because remember, is going to happen tomorrow night. And they didn't want to rush it because they have something planned for tomorrow night. I also think they feel they had Cena or Roman Reigns mention him, it makes it a bigger deal. And I think they think we'll just ignore it, but I don't think you can ignore it anymore. I think it's gotten too big. Tonight was too much of a moment but I think they do have something planned for tomorrow night, and they don't want. I would have rushed it. You have to start acknowledging it. They're gaining momentum, and when Bray comes over, and when Daniel Bryan comes over, and even if Adam Cole comes over, they're gonna keep.
And Bo Dallas.
They're gonna keep gaining that momentum. So you kind of have to stop it now. You kind of have to be like, and I think the move is gonna be tomorrow. I think tomorrow at SummerSlam, they're going to make a move that's going to be like, oh, you got CM Punk? Great. Well, the rest of that fucking show sucked. Look what we can do. Look what we can do. When we want to, we can squash you any second. Doesn't fucking matter you have CM Punk. I think they're going to pull that trigger tomorrow.
I think 100% WWE has to start acknowledging this issue, because you're right. I agree. If you keep sleeping on this, it's only going to get worse.
But also, this is the other thing I think they kind of thought, like, all right, what if they had Becky Lynch come out tonight and they had fucking, I don't know, who else is a big star? They do a bunch of crazy Lesnar. Shit. What? Lesnar comes out and Becky Lynch and all this shit. And then, like, the CM Punk, they do an angle so fucking stupid. Let's say they did something so fucking stupid it killed the return right away. Mm-hmm. Like, CM Punk comes out and gets beaten up by, like, Wardlow or something, right? Like, let's just picture, like, the worst possible thing they could have done, like Luther
beats CM Punk. Luther beats him, CM Punk gets a win.
Yeah, but like then it's like WWE is like, why the fuck did we rush all these surprises when these guys don't even know what they were doing? I think they want to say, let's see if they know what they're doing. So if they know what they're doing, we can fuck with them tomorrow night. But if they're just fucking idiots and that the return like is horribly handled, then whatever, who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was the thing. Because, like, if they, like, panicked, I think in their heads, like, if we panic and acknowledge it now, it's already a home run before they do it. But if they stumbled, if this segment sucked and we acknowledge it, they've already won. So I think they wanted to see what they did tonight first.
That's possible, yeah. So we're going to talk about SmackDown. It is coming to us live from Phoenix, Arizona. This show was also packed. There was lots of people there. All people who do not give a shit about AEW, right? Because these people
it's in Arizona, so even like,
yeah, but know. I mean, like, if they're there watching this, they're definitely gonna miss Rampage.
No, you can just watch it on your phone.
I guess you're right. You guys can watch it on your phone. All right, so Edge comes out first. They show you a great video package
that was
of Seth and Edge. I thought that was a very good video package hyping up their match. And then Edge proceeds to cut a very fucking boring promo. He's sitting in a chair in the ring, bleeding hard, like, the water is black. I was like, all right, dude, this package got me so hyped into this match, and your promo just took everything away. I could not give a shit about Edge's promo. What about you? Mm-hmm. So fucking boring.
Yeah, it was just the same shit he always does.
The water is black. And then you see Ray and Dominic, they're talking in the back. Ray's like, all right, come on, we gotta go after these tag belts. It's Dominic's like, all right, I got it, Dad. I got it. Whatever, man. And we go to our first match, Ray Mysterio versus Jey Uso. Dominic tries to interfere in this match, gets caught by the referee. The ref kicks him out, and Ray comes out, and he's distracted, and he's just like, why did you do that? Which allows the Usos to get the upper hand advantage. Jey Uso hits the Uso splash from the top rope for the victory. What did you think of this match?
It was fine.
It was,
you know what? You know. I fucking hate you. The Usos now, to me, they look so fucking dumb in this Roman Reigns storyline. They have the same. I have the same feeling about them. They have the Young Bucks. Like, just go away. Like, oh, they just. Yeah, I just think like, they suck. Ahead. I hope Rey Mysterio and Dominic beat them. I think they fucking stink. I'm not
like
a fan of theirs.
Jay's red hair dye. I like that.
I don't know. I'm just not into them anymore. I think they've been ruined by the Roman Reigns thing.
Yeah, in that Roman Reigns.
They look like idiots. They look like idiots. They look like just two fucking idiots.
You know what they should have done? They should have just been in his corner the whole time.
Yeah. Did Jimmy Uso just like decide like on the spur of the moment, I'm with you now? Was that what it basically was?
It should have just been like, if this was how it was ultimately going to go, they should have never done this thing where he was like, they're one of them or two of them were conflicted, because both of them were conflicted.
And now they're both like, just like, oh.
Yeah, now they're just, yeah, exactly. So
they look like the dumbest. They look like the most pathetic guys on the show.
Yeah. Okay. They should have just been like that from day one, because this is stupid. Mm-hmm. It was a waste of storyline. Mm-hmm. All right. So then we're going to go to match number two, Kevin Owens versus Baron Corbin. Big E comes out and he attacks Baron Corbin. So that's a DQ. Tries to get Big E stupid, though. And he beats up Corbin just enough for him to get his briefcase, but then turns his back on Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin pushes him into the ring post. And steals back the Money in the Bank briefcase and runs away. So he still escapes. What did you think about this?
Hated it.
I hated it. This was fucking dumb. Then we get Kayla Braxton in the back. She's talking to Bianca Belair, and Bianca Belair cuts a promo on Sasha Banks. And then we're going to go to match number three. Shotzi and Knox. Dude, yeah. I like how they just call him Shotzi and Knox. Like, no, you only get one name.
You're lucky you got that, you horse.
You keep the first name, you keep the last name. Shotzi and Knox versus Natalya returning from injury and Tamina. They mentioned that Natalya's had surgery 3 weeks ago. She's had surgery 3 weeks ago, and she's got like a metal rod in her ankle, but she's wrestling, and she wrestled. She looked fine. But it's not a long match. It's a very short match. Shotzi rolls up Natalya for the victory. No pulling of the tights, no buffoonery, just rolled her up and won.
What are they going to give Knox and Shotzi the fucking belts? Haven't they beat these women like 97 times now?
Yeah, that's another thing too. That's a very good point you're making, Ray. This team of Shotzi and Knox has beat the champions a whole bunch of times, and every fucking time it's like a non-title. And I bet you they're going to have, like, a match on SummerSlam where it's for the title and they'll lose.
Or next week on SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, weird. I don't understand. What is the point of these women having a tag belt if all they do is lose? Like, it's just – it's so – it's almost like when you have the belt, you become a bigger loser than when you didn't have the belt. Because watch, Shotzi and Ding Dong are going to get the fucking belts, and then they're going to lose to, like, fucking Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss or some or Doudrop. And, like, watch.
Yeah.
Doudrop's going to be sitting their fucking heads every fucking week. And, like, it's just so fucking stupid.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
And they just, like, whatever, like, they've just, like, Shotzi now is just like everybody else. It feels like they're like, oh, we got rid of Ruby Riot, so we'll just put Shotzi in that role. It's just, I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah. Shotzi's like a younger Ruby Riot, basically.
Yeah.
At the start of the second hour, we got Seth Rollins in an all white suit coming into the ring, cutting a promo. Then the Brood music hits. And I actually got excited for a moment. I was like, oh, shit, is this how they're countering it? They're bringing back the Brood?
I love Gangrel. Are you kidding me?
They're bringing back Gangrel. I was like, no, it's not. Wrong. They would never be this much fun. It's just Edge on the Tron acting like he's all crazy. Black blood.
Black and then they called it a brood bath. They didn't use the term blood. Because it's PG now.
Oh, yeah. So Seth Rollins in the ring and a whole bunch of black blood. It's like black blood. That's the best way to explain it. Drops on Seth. Visually, it looks amazing because it hit directly him. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing an all-white suit. And he becomes completely black.
Mm-hmm.
Completely black. So it visually looked good. This was all, I liked it, even though it was kind of. It was,
I know, but like, why can't you fucking let Gangrel walk out and do it? Like, why can't you have Gangrel with next to Edge? Like, what is that gonna like? All you do is make this guy's day.
Yeah, like, and then, and have him take a bump at SummerSlam.
Like, yeah, not? Like, I hope he comes out tomorrow night. I really do. I hope he's in like his corner.
Yeah.
Like, is what like, I just want to be like, you're playing the music, you're dropping the blood. This guy's probably sitting at home. His poor wife's dead. This guy's sitting at home with nothing good. Luna Vachon was his wife. And you play the whole
wife.
What?
Wasn't that his ex-wife?
Yeah, but she's still dead. I mean, like, he's got a new wife, but she's dead. Like,
no, but did she die while they were still married?
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah.
Oh.
I read an article that was really hard, her final years on him. Like, everyone still likes him. I think he's more over now.
Yes.
Like, people remember him as being really fucking cool. Even though he didn't do much, everyone still likes him. Everyone still remembers him.
Absolutely. Nostalgia factor.
But it's like, why would you not have this guy come out from time to time? People fucking like him.
Yeah.
I think I know the reason, actually. I'm sorry. I think I know the reason. I do think I know the reason why they don't bring him out. So apparently Gangrel is owned by White Wolf, which is a role player.
We're talking about the name, guys. The name Gangrel. Yeah.
So I remember in the video games, they'd have to put a thing, Gangrel owned by White Wolf. And then they had to pay White Wolf.
Yes.
I think that's the, now I know the reason.
Yeah.
They don't want to give White Wolf a single fucking dollar.
What the hell is White Wolf?
It's a role-playing company. Like, they play, they make, like, they're like another type of Dungeons and Dragons company.
Yeah, so he based himself off of character of that, right?
I think I think that's the name they gave, but then they didn't check, and then White Wolf was like, we're gonna sue you or something. So they had to keep it, they had to acknowledge. And I think Vince didn't wanna.
Why did they just change his fucking name?
I don't know. They didn't want to change the name. And
I mean, it is a cool name, Gangrel. Yeah,
I would have changed. I just would have called him Vampire Warrior. That was his name on the Indies, and I thought that was a cool name when I was a kid. I just would have kept calling him Vampire Warrior, but I guess they didn't want him to make money. They basically, like,
I would have, if then I would have changed his name to Grangula.
Or how about fucking Dracula's public domain? Just call him Dracula.
Yeah.
But I just would like to see him. Maybe he'll come out tomorrow. That would be fucking great.
Yeah.
Dude, fly him in.
There's still a chance. There's still a chance, yeah.
Dude, I'd be more excited for him than CM Punk.
Yeah. Match number 4, Otis versus Montez Ford.
Another match they do every fucking week.
Yes, absolutely. These guys have been having matches. Street Profits and Alpha Academy have been having matches for probably like 2-3 months now.
Yeah.
Otis hits the Vader bomb for the win. I do like this heel Otis, though. This more serious Otis. I do like
it. It's not some friends. I have friends that haven't watched wrestling in a while, but they watched both shows tonight. And my friend messaged me on Facebook, what the fuck did they do to Otis? This is horrible.
I will say this. I don't like it as much as funny Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I think if they're going to do this version of Otis, I would make him, I would change his look to be more like Vader. I'm not saying he should wear like the fucking Vader jock strap, but look more like a monster. He looks like just like a fat bull. And it like make him redo the look, like give him like a cartoon character villain look. Go all the way with this. If you're going to make him this much of a fucking monster now, because he still looks kind of goofy. He looks like a likable guy. He's just like, that's the thing. He's such a likable guy. It's just weird to see him. So if you're going to do this, you really need to like give him a huge change in wardrobe and everything.
Yeah, no, I think I like it. It's not the best version of Otis, but yeah, if you're gonna, if, I like.
This I would man, change the name too.
Yeah, if you're gonna stick with this, you guys need to go all the way. Don't go half. Go yeah, all the way.
Go like more in the direction of Earthquake and Vader, in that general direction. And say Earthquake, Vader, I'm trying to think of Mankind, that Abyss, that general direction. I don't know what you call him or how you dress him, but that's hire some artists to this. Hire definitely some designers. Change
the fucking name.
Change the name. A name and an image. Guys,
Grangular.
So these are the. If I was,
go with Grangular, guys.
If I had a bunch of artists, call him
Grangular.
Call him CM Dunk. But if I was like, if I hired a bunch of artists.
Just change his name to CM Dunk.
Yeah.
And then he should just be a parody of CM Punk.
No. But dude, if I was in charge, I would say it, I needed somebody to redesign his gear and everything and his name. I'd be like, think of Earthquake, Vader, Abyss, and Mankind. I want something along those lines. Go. And one man gang too. Something around in that general area. Show me what you got.
One man Grangula.
One man punk. One man CM gang.
All right, we're gonna go to match number 5. It is Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs, formerly Eric Bugenhagen, in his SmackDown wrestling debut.
I like Boogs. You know why? Because you can chant it.
Yeah, yeah, which they do acknowledge. These two against Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. Boogs was super over in this match. This first move he does, grabs his fucking Apollo's leg, and he plays the air guitar with it. People love that shit. He hits the pump handle Boogs. While this match is going on, the fans start chanting for him. They start chanting, Boogs, Boogs. It does sound like booze. Because it's like Boogs, Boogs. And Pat McAfee does acknowledge that. He goes, they're not chanting boo. They're saying Boogs. And Rick Boogs hits the pump handle power slam on Apollo Crews for the clean victory. Nice debut. I like this. This is probably my second favorite match of the night.
This was my favorite segment on SmackDown. Yes. It was very simple to the point. It got this guy over.
Yes.
And I think, like, at the way Vince and Bruce Pritchard think, you stay the course and you get this guy over every week. I think there's real star potential in Boogs. And I think Baron Corbin, I think when this whole storyline plays out, he's going to be next level. And I think they're like, all right, you have old fucking CM Punk, but we're building the future with Boogs. Like, we're like, and I can see the potential there. And I think it's a great way to use Nakamura because they're never gonna get behind Nakamura as like the face of the company.
Yes.
But helping this guy to build himself, I think, is smart. I think the way Pat McAfee is into him gets him over.
Oh, that's funny too, yeah.
Far and away, the best segment on SmackDown. And I can see world where this guy's main eventing shit 2-3 years from now. I can see that world. I can see that path.
Yeah. By the way, this guy, when he was on NXT, he had one match on TV, mm-hmm. right? And that, not TV, on their
show. But you know where he always stood out was the crowd. Remember when they were doing the crowds at Performance Center?
But this guy in NXT, he had one match. And just that match alone got him so over that even when he disappeared, people kept bringing him up. When this guy, Bugenhagen, come back? When is he coming back? Yeah, well, that's how over this guy was with one match. He's very charismatic. I do like how afterwards, whenever they win, they stand on the announce table and they're fucking playing the guitar and Nakamura's doing his weird dancing and Pat McAfee gets into it too. And Michael Cole sits there looking super annoyed. I fucking love that. That makes the whole thing where Michael Cole is super annoyed that they're dancing on the fucking announce table. I love it. It's good. They're SmackDown. Like, I mean, we shit on WWE a lot. We do. But I will say SmackDown has been doing a great job of building up people.
No, SmackDown's been good. It's just SmackDown is way better than Raw.
Look at the way they rehabilitated Apollo Crews, mm-hmm. right? They this guy Boogs, right? Look what they did. They rehabilitated Nakamura with this guy Boogs debuting him. Bianca Belair really rose to the next level on SmackDown. Bayley really like took off on SmackDown. So good job with SmackDown. There was speaking of Bianca Belair, last match, Bianca Belair versus first Selena Vega. And she hits the kiss of death for the victory. As soon as that match is over, she's got to go to her seventh match, seventh match of the night. It is Bianca Belair versus Carmella, who also loses to kiss of death. So two Bianca Belair victories build her up for her match at SummerSlam. What do you think about both these matches?
But two things. Carmella looked amazing. That outfit she had on was fucking incredible. I think it's the hottest she's ever looked.
I don't think she's, I mean, okay. I'm probably in the minority when I say I don't find her attractive at all.
Okay. Sometimes I don't find her attractive. I'll agree with you. There's times, and in the past I haven't. This was far and away the best she's ever looked tonight. But both matches sucked. Here's the weird thing. Sasha Banks was not on this show. Do you think she has COVID and they don't want to say it yet?
I don't know.
Because here's what I'm thinking.
If she has COVID, though, wouldn't they have fucking changed it up? Like, took the opportunity tonight to change shit up for tomorrow?
They were promoting Roman Reigns until the last second when he pulled out of Mania. They didn't say, the only reason people knew was because they taped it and it leaked that he left. If Sasha Banks just tells Vince and Vince is sitting on it, we're not going to tell anybody. We're just going to keep promoting the match.
Such a fucking carny thing to do.
I know. Well, I also think because they're assembling so many people in Las Vegas, if they say Sasha Banks got COVID, remember last week she's around everybody, maybe officials in Vegas will be like, you can't have the event. How do we know these other wrestlers don't have COVID? Right?
Oh my gosh. Wait, keep going. I just thought of something. Go, keep going.
I think that if Sasha Banks does have COVID, they have a big surprise for Bianca. This is what I think they'll do. Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. If Sasha Banks has COVID.
That'd be pretty cool.
And that way it's like, oh, you get Sasha Banks, but you got this. That's what I think is on the horizon. Watch me be wrong, it is Doudrop versus Bianca Belair. Yeah. But which would actually be a good match if they let Doudrop beat Piper Niven.
Or it's Lily.
It's Lily. But it was very weird that she wasn't there. The matches were all right, but I'm very weirded out that she wasn't there.
Hey, wasn't there supposed to be like a mask requirement in Chicago tonight?
Yeah, there's also a mask requirement in Vegas tomorrow.
Yo, those people were not fucking wearing their masks.
I know it's a great moment for Punk, but when you sit back, the amount of COVID that probably was spread tonight in Chicago. Yeah.
No, because I was just like, wait, I don't know why I thought of that. You're talking about COVID, and I was just like, oh, wait a minute. I thought they were supposed to wear a mask.
Yeah, yeah, they had to wear masks. No one had masks. And,
nobody had the fucking mask on, yeah.
Dude, they have to start. You know what? I hate to say this, but...
Yeah, but what's going to happen because of that? They're not going to get in trouble for that, right?
They should, though. They should. Tony Khan like should be...
AEW should get in trouble or the arena should get in trouble?
I think the city of Chicago and the city of Vegas should say to WWE and AEW, you can have your events here. People have to remain masks. Remember, you're on live TV. So if we see that your fucking fans aren't masked, you're going to get fined and the building's going to get fined. So you better stay on top of it because, hey, you know what? It was a great fucking moment. It was a great fucking moment. But how do we not know that now, like, Chicago's going to have a surge? And now the kids are getting it. How do we not know a bunch of kids are going to get it because of this? So that's the thing. I do think that, like, the city of Chicago, I do think these cities should reserve the right to be like, hey, man, it was a fucking great return to CM Punk. Yeah, nobody had their masks on. We're fighting you $1 million. No, I need $1 million for Adam Cole. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Like, or they go like, oh, we told them to wear masks. It's not our fault to take it off.
That's why we're also fighting the arena. Security should have enforced it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have Tony Khan walk out and be like, "You need to keep your masks on, otherwise they're gonna fine me, and I won't be able to bring in Adam Cole. So I need that $1 million." But sitting with WWE, they should also be fine tomorrow night if people aren't wearing their masks in Vegas. I think the city of Vegas has every right to find Vince for a couple of million bucks. I do. That's the only way people are going to learn. How else are you going to have these events and stop the spread? You know?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I mean, otherwise CM Punk's going to be wrestling
at the fucking Thunderdome in America. It's real bad. I think Texas and Florida are both back up to having over 100 deaths a day.
Yeah, you know, like, it's great that he's back, but if we don't fucking get a handle on this, him and Daniel Bryan will be wrestling in an empty fucking building. Like, I'm back. Okay, great. You're going to be in a fucking empty building in a few weeks because nobody's taking this seriously.
I forgot to mention that part of CM Punk's promo that was some information for us. He said Wednesdays and Fridays, I have time on Wednesdays and Fridays, and four Sundays and Saturdays.
Four or five weekends. Year. I think you forgot how many.
Yeah. So he's only going to do. Well, actually, they only have like four or five pay-per-views anyway.
Yeah. He basically, I'm going to be on every show.
Yeah, he's going to be
on every show. All they have is Wednesdays, Fridays, and four or five pay-per-views. It's not like.
That's WWE. True. I forgot that they only have four or five pay-per-views. They don't do one every.
But I'm sure if they add more, he'll do.
Yeah, I think they could add an extra one.
He basically was saying in a fun way, I'm going to be on every fucking show moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Final segment. Roman Reigns comes out. Then Cena comes out to a huge pop, obviously. So he came out to a huge pop. There's bickering back and forth. And Roman basically says, I'm leaving as champion or I'm leaving WWE. So he's either going to leave as champion or he's going to quit. That's all I got out of that. I could not wait to turn this
part. I changed the channel before. I didn't want to miss a second of the CM Punk thing.
Yeah.
I changed the channel while Cena was talking because I'm like, nothing. When Cena said, I am going to go film a movie, but I'm like, when Cena acknowledged that he's leaving to film a movie, but he's still going to win and take the belt with him, I'm like, you're not winning. Like, I know you're not winning, which is why I think they should have Cena win, to be honest with you. Nobody thinks he's going to win. I think he should just win because.
Unless they make him win, yeah.
I would let him win. I think that is the right now with everything going on, that would be the most intriguing story. The promo was boring. I feel like they have nothing to say to each other. I think the match will be good, but the promo was boring. And I think they should have. I think the fact that Roman said I'll leave and Cena said I'm going to take the belt and not come back, dude, have him win. I've seen a win and go from there. I think that would be the most.
I think thing. Roman Reigns is like, dude, COVID's come revving back up. Dude, I got that fucking thing. I got to leave.
Maybe that's why he said that. That's another
interesting. Oh, what does he have again? I got leukemia.
Cancer, which is not anything. Yeah. I'm surprised that he's back with this COVID surge. I'm really surprised, dude, because they're putting – Vegas is a hot spot right now. I'm shocked that he's, like, cool with it.
Yeah. And there was something else I wanted to say about this. What was it? Oh, I don't know if you've noticed this, but SmackDown never goes all the way to 10 o'clock ever
because of the news. That's why, that's why I knew everyone was gonna be able to watch Rampage. They have to, the news, because most Fox affiliates have it, they have to give enough time for the news to start. They have to. It can't.
So they always end at like 9:57, 9:58.
Yeah,
like two, 3 minutes before 10 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was just tired of the promo, which is why I cut off early. But they have to, which is why I said, told you, like, these people won't know. They can all pull out their phones and watch it while they go to their cars. So. All right. That was the biggest night of our lives, and it's all downhill from here, both of us.
It was, I will say, it was a very, very fun night, man. You know, I haven't felt this anticipated for something in wrestling since the first Rock versus Cena.
No, this was my most anticipated thing, I think, since Bret Hart's return in 2010, and maybe the CM Punk John Cena match in 2011. At Money in the Bank. This was
Yeah, because that one, he was like, we don't know if he's leaving.
Yeah, the pipe bomb, no one knew that was coming. So it was just a fun, it was just like a really fun moment to like watch. But this was good. And I think this was the first time it felt, AEW felt like major league, like WCW in 96, 97, major league. And I hope they can keep them with them. Here's the thing about Tony Khan, though. They don't know how to do an ending. So what is the ending going to be with CM Punk? I hope they nail it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we'll looking forward to All Out. Let's see if we find.
You know what? I'm probably going to order it. And let me tell you something. If it sucks, I'm going to fucking murder them. I'm gonna probably, dude, wouldn't it be funny if like CM Punk like gets blown up after like 3 minutes and the match stinks?
Dude, that's possible. That's really possible.
Because
you know what? Darby, we talked about fast wrestlers. Darby's a fast wrestler.
They better
rehearse
this match. Tony Khan had better bought a ring and put this guy and have these two guys rehearse this match for the next three or four weeks. Because if he stinks in the ring, like, I don't know. Yeah. It's been 7 years. Hopefully it's more Shawn Michaels return than Kurt Angle's.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
All right. And like Shawn Michaels, I'm sure he'll take his ball and go home when things don't go his way. No, Tony Khan. Who's like, you go to me.
I don't like Shawn Michaels, but when he returned, he was still really, really fucking good.
Yeah, hopefully. Know? The thing about CM Punk is he's not the greatest. He's very middle in the ring, but his everything about him, his aura, his promo
presentation,
skills, his presentation is, but like in the ring, like I didn't think his Undertaker match was that fucking good. His match with Daniel Bryan weren't that fucking great, but everything around him, the total package is what makes sense.
He brings that big fight feel.
Yeah. You know? His Rock match was great. His Rock matches were great. In 2013, they were better than the Cena ones, I thought. But like, yeah, he everything about him is a big feel. But his matches were never as good as he thinks they are, or as the fans think they are. They were always very average.
Yes, they're always very average. I agree.
But we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Hey, tomorrow night, SummerSlam week continues. It's actually
when did SummerSlam start? 7 o'clock.
The pre-show, yeah. I'll be watching
them. The pre-show's a 7, okay.
All yeah, right. Dude, they've done a horrible... I had to look up the card. I usually know the card for SummerSlam. I didn't even know the card.
I know 3 matches.
I was shocked.
No, I know 4 matches.
You want me to go over the card? Then let's not do predictions because it's so close now, SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It's going to be Goldberg's son versus Hook. Actually, that'd be a good match. Nikki Ash, Charlotte, Rhea Ripley. I will say this. Nikki Ash has to win. There's no other. If they – any other finish, I'm going to be like, just fire Nikki. Just fire her.
Oh, wait. It's a triple threat?
Yeah. Nikki has to win. Nikki has to win.
I would fucking put it on Rhea again.
No, Nikki. Nikki, if she's going to mean anything long term. Roman Reigns, John Cena. I would give it to Cena. Bobby Lashley, Goldberg. You know what? I would give it to Goldberg just to fuck with everybody. Really would. I know, like, that's not a popular thing. Usos, Rey Mysterio. I'm going to go with Rey Mysterio. Bianca versus Sasha Banks. COVID wins that one. Edge versus Seth. Edge has to win a match. Edge has not won a match, by the way, on a pay-per-view since he came back. He has to win this.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to win this one.
He has to. And Seth Rollins, fuck him. Sheamus versus Damian Priest. Damian Priest has to win that. He has to.
Can't believe that match is on the fucking card.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal.
Oof. Which
Alexa
one of these?
Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. That's going to be the worst. Shut the fuck up, Alexa.
Your Wi-Fi name or password has
Alexa.
To update your Wi-Fi.
Shut up.
Go to the Alexa app.
Shut the fuck up. I'll fucking kill you. And then AJ Styles and Almost versus RK-Bro. Give it to RK-Bro.
Oh my god, there's so many fucking matches on this. Oh my god.
I know, but they didn't you know like 2 of them are gonna be in the pre-show, so
oh, there's still so many matches, dude. So many matches.
I know I heard internally they consider this WrestleMania more than WrestleMania this year.
I'm gonna be so bored out of my mind watching this garbage.
No, look, I'll say this. If Sasha Banks isn't dying of COVID, I think that match is gonna be great. I think Cena Roman's gonna be great, and I think Edge and Seth's gonna be great. So that's 3 matches right there. That's really all you need for a good pay-per-view.
Yeah.
All right. And then we might have a few surprises. They better have a surprise tomorrow. That's all
CM
I'll say.
Punk showing up tomorrow.
What? Imagine. CM Punk showing up tomorrow. I was lying.
I signed with both companies.
All right. That's enough out of you.